Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nida is daf Yud. We're beginning on Tes, and we're towards the bottom of Tes Amud Aleph, and we have a pasuk we want to we would like to suggest a pshat in. The pasuk says, "Mi itein Torah mitame lo echad." Pasuk in Iyu, Perek Yudalid. Who is going to make something Torah out of Tameh? It's got to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning there's no one else that can do that. Take something which is Tameh, make it Tahor. So what does that mean exactly? So the one pshat that we gave according to Rav Meir is Dam Nekar V'Naseh Chalav, that blood turns into milk, right? Again, we went over this yesterday. It's not super literal, not the way we understand how things work, but basically Dam which is Tameh, when after a woman has given birth, so that the woman no longer is menstruating, and through one effect and another effect, so that blood is eventually going to turn into milk, and so that's how something tamei becomes something tahor. That's Rav Meir Shita. But remember, that was subject to a machlokus yesterday. The preponderance of positions in the Gemara, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, all disagree with Rav Meir. They say that's not why a minika, a nursing woman, is considered a mislakas damim, somebody who has a lack of blood. The reason is simply because of postpartum, meaning she gave birth. That's a traumatic event in of itself. And so therefore, she's musalak is dumbing for the next 24 months, regardless of whether she nurses or she doesn't nurse. So what are they going to do with the pasuk? So the Gemara gave it, advanced a couple of other explanations. Another explanation that we already said yesterday is that shichva zera of a man is going to turn into a child, into a human being. So the shichva zera, which is a davar tameh, is going to then become a human being, which is a davar tahor. Good. That was another pshat that we offered. And then the Gemara was going to offer a third pshat in that pasuk. On Tes Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Rebbe Lazar Omer, Elu Mehanida. Mehanida over here is referring to, don't get confused with the words. I know the Gemara says the word Nida over here, but the Gemara does not mean Nida. It means over here, Mehanida is the sprinkling of the water together with the mixed together with the ashes of the paraduma. Shehamazeh umazin alav tahor. Now, did everyone know this? The one who sprinkles and the one who's being sprinkled upon is going to be tahor. Vinogeya tameh. But meanwhile, the one who touches the water is going to become tameh. Now, perhaps everyone here is familiar with the basic idea that there's an irony, there's a built-in irony to the paraduma. It's metame taharim and metare tameyim. Right? Take somebody who's tameh, makes them tahor. Take somebody who's tahor, makes them tameh. Now, right, and probably we all had an idea in our head that, okay, the one does the sprinkling is going to end up becoming tameh, and the one who's being sprinkled upon is going to be tahor. That's not accurate. That's, interestingly enough, that's absolutely not accurate. But rather, the halacha goes like this. The halacha is that the one who sprinkles and the one who's sprinkled upon is tahor. Now, the one who's doing the sprinkling, obviously, he's tahor. He start off as being tahor. The one who's being sprinkled, right, obviously, he's being sprinkled because he was tameh, so that sprinkling is going to make him tahor. But the one who merely touches the water mixed with the ashes, he's going to be tameh. That's what's called hanogeya, right? The one who touches is going to be tameh. Now,
sprinkler is touching it.
Yeah, so first of all, that's an excellent question. And before even responding to your question, we can ask even a more basic question, which is, the pasuk says the one who sprinkles is going to become tameh. Yeah, that's also another basic question. So the Gemara is bothered by this. So we have a couple things that we need to iron out, and then we're going to obviously go back and we're going to say a pshat in the pasuk. Umaze tahor? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The one who does the sprinkling, he's going to be tahor? In other words, it's funny. Usually you ask a question from a brisa, from a mishnah, all right? From a, you know, maybe a memra made by an amora. Here we're going to ask a question from a pasuk. Meaning, what are you talking about? The pasuk says, "Umaze mehanidi chabes begadav." The one who sprinkles has to clean his clothing. Clean his clothing over here means tovan the mikvah, and on top of that, his clothing that he's wearing at the time while he's sprinkling is also going to be tameh as well. This is what's called tameh chamura, where you become tameh in the clothing that you're wearing, even if your clothing didn't touch the mechatas. That's going to be tameh as well. So basically, what's going on over here? What are you saying? So the Gemara gives, wait for it. The Gemara says, "My mazeh nogeya." You got to understand the pasuk correctly. When the pasuk says sprinkling, you know what the pasuk means by that? No geya. It means touching. V'haksiv mazeh. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: What are you doing there? What is that? The pasuk says mazeh, and now we're understanding it to mean no geya. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'haksiv mazeh. V'haksiv no geya. V'od. And first of all, the Torah already talks about the one who touches, and the Torah talks about the one who sprinkles. So how can you even redefine the pasuk? That's question number one. Question number two, va'od, mazeh by kibus, no gelo by kibus. In addition to that, the sprinkler requires kibus, meaning he gets tumah chamura. Meaning not only does he become tamei, but his clothing becomes tamei as well. The nogeya, the one who simply touches the mechatas, so he only requires tefillah, but his clothing doesn't require tefillah. It's not tumah chamura. It's tumah, but not tumah chamura. So, meaning, you can't simply say that when the Torah says the word mazeh means nogeya, they're halachically different than one another. They're not the same. So again, what are you doing? Elamai mazeh no stay. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to introduce another pshat. Radical, but it's how we're going to do it. When the Torah says the word mazeh, you know what the Torah means by that? Nogeya. I'm sorry, no stay. It means carry. Carrying the mechatas will make you tummy. So the licht of no stay. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll ask you a simple question. If that's what the Torah meant, why didn't the Torah say that? If by carrying the mechatas you're going to become tameh, why doesn't the Torah just simply tell us, if you carry the mechatas you're going to become tameh? And the Torah is confusing us by using the word mazeh as a replacement for the word noseh. That's confusing. So kamash man da adadari kishir hazah. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what the Torah is trying to tell us? Is that carrying is what contracts the tumah. You must carry it, but how much do you need to carry? A shear. How much is a shear? A sprinkling amount. So when the Torah says the word mazeh, the Torah does mean the one who carries it, but the Torah is also intimating how much you need to carry. You need to carry the amount that you sprinkle. Now the Gemara says, now, how much do you need to sprinkle? Now when I sprinkle somebody with the paraduma, with the mechatas, so how much do you need to sprinkle? So the Gemara brings down a machlokas. One position is that there's a shear, there is an amount. We'll get to how much that is in just a moment. But there is an opinion out there that says that there is no shear. So if there is no shear, so we're back to square one. So what's the pasuk telling us when it says mazeh? And you want to tell me, oh, well, maybe the Torah is talking about carrying, and it means carrying a certain amount, but there's an opinion out there that says that there is no shear. So if there's no shear, so then what are we talking about? Michael Amemar. So the Gemara says, I feel a man darman, it's rich a shear, hani mila agaba de gavra, ava bemana be'in a shear. Even that opinion who says that you don't need a shear, you got to understand that position a little bit better. It doesn't mean that you don't need a shear on your azov, right? That's your English translates as hyssops, right? Whatever. It's your vegetable that you used to sprinkle with, right? Your instrument of sprinkling. That only means that on the person himself, he could be sprinkled with any amount, right? How much of the water plus ashes needs to come into contact with his body? Doesn't matter. Any amount. But in terms of how much are actually collected on the azov itself, there is a shear. And oh, by the way, how much is that shear? That's the next line of the Mishnah. Kedinan. It's a Mishnah in Para. Kama yiyu b'mayim v'yu b'hem k'dei hazah, k'dei shiyitbol roshe giv'olim v'yazeh. Enough so that the heads of the azov collect the water. B'hainu da'amar shlama. Now before I get to the pasuk. So finally, we've arrived. Meaning, unbelievable, you're never going to look at chukas again the same way. Right? When you read Parshas Chukas, now it comes out now that the one who touches the mechatas, he's going to become tamei. The one who carries the mechatas, he's going to become tamei. How about the one who sprinkles?
Who's doing both?
Right? As Ben points out, touching and carrying. How about the one who sprinkles? No. He's not going to become tamei. Now, as far as touching is concerned, so we could say he's not going to touch it. Meaning he'll take the azov.
Wait, hold on. So, we're reading... When I always read the psukim, I always think the guy that's sprinkling it.
Yeah, I know. That's
right.
That's.
So I'm reading it wrong.
It's common to think. No, you're not reading it wrong. You're reading the pasuk correctly. The pasuk says that. Umaze mehi anida yichabis begadav. That's what the pasuk says. But now what we're arriving at is a very unusual conclusion, which is touching, carrying, you become tamei. Sprinkling, no. Now, as far as touching is concerned, we can obviate. Because by, in other words, you take your azov and you put it in and then you sprinkle. So you can get away with not making any contact with the mechatas.
One drop on him, he's
you, right, correct. Okay. Correct. That we can get around. Carrying is a little more difficult.
Right.
Because if you have it now on the azov and you're holding the azov, that means you're not carrying? Right. That's a little tricky. I'm not sure how to dance around that one.
I think that they're talking about carrying maybe in a vessel. Is azov considered like a vessel?
It's not. It's not a vessel. It's a. It's a.
You could be carrying in a vessel. That's
yeah. Right. Okay.
How about the one who's being massed?
But the one actually sprinkled.
No, the one who's being
sprinkled on. Then
he touches it.
Yeah, but he's tummy. Right. So for him, the effect is that he's going to become tahor.
So.
Right. It's anyone who's tahor who touches it is going to become tummy. And now finally, this part we all know. But now it's funny. We all know this, but now we're gonna see a new wrinkle in this, right? Which mitzvah does Shlomo not understand? So we all know Paraduma. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he understand it? Meaning, what was his what bothered him? So everyone thought, oh, I know what bothered him. It's Mitami Tahar Mitar Tameim. Meaning, it has the opposite effect for the person who's ever handling it. The one who's Tamei, he becomes Tahar. The one who's Tahar, he becomes Tamei. But now what we're gonna see, based on what we just learned together, is that we're going to say a totally new pshat. Meaning, what bothered Shlomo HaMelech? So first of all, let me read the Gemara inside. So, V'hainu damar Shlomo, Amarti achakma, V'hi rechoka mimeni. I thought I was going to get smart, but it's too far ahead of me. It's too much for me to get, too much for me to understand. And take a look at Rashi over here, last Rashi on the page. Amarti achakma, Rashi writes, B'tamze, lama maze umazin alav tahor, v'nogea tamei. Here's what I don't understand. Meaning, it's the one sprinkling, the one getting sprinkled, they're going to become tahor. Well, the one sprinkling is not going to become tahor. He already is. He continues to be tahor, but anyone who touches, they're going to be tamei. Shlomo says, I don't get that. Meaning, that's the part that Shlomo didn't understand. It's not the just simple mitar tamei, mitami tahorim. It's also, in addition to that, it's there's no rhyme. It's arbitrary, because the one who is tahor who sprinkles, he remains tahor, and meanwhile, someone who actually touches is going to become tamei. That's the part Shlomo says I don't understand.
Can somebody tumah sprinkle or not?
Huh?
Can somebody who is tumah do the sprinkling?
It
will make more sense then.
Right, Hill.
Or you have to be tahor.
No, but we just learned now that the sprinkler is going to remain tahor. The sprinkler himself, the maz himself,
okay,
is going to be tahor.
That didn't happen in the way you say the
right.
Can the tumah first?
Right, I hear you. Baruch Atan Machom Shakol Nebaro. Okay, Ezu Zikena Kol Shavro Alav Gemaonu Samach Chizik Nasa. Four women who are Masalakas Damim, who have a paucity of blood, and therefore we're going to say Dai Shaitan. Meaning that when they do see blood on the event, in the event that they do see blood, so they're not going to go back May 8th to 24 hours, but rather we're going to say, from this point going forward, they're going to be Tamei, but we don't go backwards at all. Who are those four women? So that's the mission that we learned together with Rabbi Eliezer. And it is a Besula. Besula, of course, means she, Besula's Dam, right? She has never bled yet in her life. A Me'uberes, a pregnant woman, a Meinika, a nursing woman, and a Zakena. So yesterday we spent our day talking about the first three, and now we're going to talk about number four, the Zakena, the older woman, right? She, I, it's a good point, meaning, first of all, for her to bleed would be, right, correct. In other words, for her to have a menstrual cycle at all is going to be an oddity, and if she does, so maybe we'll I don't know. Right, but our Mishnah, you see, I understand Kipshuta, why our Mishnah doesn't discuss it, because our Mishnah is just talking about quote-unquote regular women. Meaning, right, just, right, just regular women. Just, and we're going life cycle, meaning we're starting at the early ages where she's pre-menstruating, and now we're talking about a woman who's post-menstruating, or as we say here in English, menopausal. So, Hechidam Yisamach L'Ziknasa Amra, Yehuda Kol Shechav Rusa Amra La Zikena. So you need her friends to call her Zakena, meaning her friends refer to her as the old woman. The Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shekaren La Ima Ima. Anyone who refers to her as Ima Ima, the Ena Busha, and she's fine with it. She doesn't get embarrassed. Meaning, yeah, meaning a woman who has arrived at a certain age and understands that she arrived at that certain age, where you call her grandma, and she says, "Yeah, I'm grandma." So it's funny. What the Gemara doesn't do, it's so interesting. The Gemara doesn't give an age. Meaning you would think that the Gemara has some sort of bracketed age.
It could be 40.
And we not that long ago, we learned Masechta Erechin. Right. Correct. It is interesting. We learned Erechin not that long ago, where the Torah gives us bracketed ages in terms of, you know, in terms of Erech. So here it's interesting that the halacha really is predicated on when she's comfortable with being a certain age. Okay. So ve'ena busha. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, chanamar kol she'ena makpedes ve'chanamar kol she'ena busha. The Gemara says it in one of two ways. It sounds very similar. She's not makped versus she's not embarrassed. So the Gemara says, is there a difference? May be'na yukabene busha ve'ena makpedes. So the Gemara says, yeah, where she's a little bit embarrassed, but she doesn't get angry. Okay, it's a subtlety. It's a real subtlety. Meaning, okay, but the Gemara says that would be a difference between those two positions. The Kama Ona. Okay, now, the Gemara wants to know that how much is an Ona? Okay, right? What did we say earlier? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Right? After the Mishnah introducing us to the four women, I'm all the way back on Zion, bottom of Zion Amud Aleph, top of Zion Amud Beis. Right? And the Mishnah goes through what a Basula is, what a Meuberis is, what a Menika is, and what is a Zekena. Okay, and if you take a look at the Mishnah, Kol She'avru Aleha Gimel Onos Samuch L'Ziknasa. As long as three Onos have gone by, Samuch L'Ziknasa, as she gets close to that age. Okay, that magical age of being of a certain age. Right? Good. Now, here's what the Gemara wants to know. That term Ona, what does that mean? The Mishnah says that she goes by Gimel Onos, as she approaches that age, she's now going to be put into the status of Mesulak Hazdamim. She's no longer expected to bleed. So what does that mean? So Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rav Yehuda Nesia Ona Beinonis Shloshim Yom. It's an Ona Beinonis. It is a, what we'll say in English, an average Ona, which is 30 days. Meaning the common cycle of a woman, which is the 30-day cycle. V'rava Amar, Rav Chista Esrim Yom. Now the Gemara seems to be presenting another opinion, which is 20 days v'lo pligi, but the Gemara says, but there really is no machlokas over here, makar chashiv yimei tuma v'yimei tara, omar lo chashiv yimei tuma. It's just a question, it's just an accounting issue. But they're really both saying 30 days. The one who says 20 days minus her days of tuma. Her days of tuma are shiva, now here 7 could mean 7 days of nida, but it could also mean shiva nekiyim, right? You could really go either way on that. And then plus another 3 days because, right, her Yemei Ziva, which requires the Shiva Nikiyim, and then plus another 20 days, which equals 30. In other words, not to get too hung up on this, basically they're both saying 30 days. Tanu Rabbanan. Zekena Shavra La Gimel Omnos V'rasa Dai Shaita. Okay, now, I have a woman, or the Gemara quotes a Braisa, a woman now who has arrived at that stage of being a Zekena, right? She's now of that certain age, and she has now skipped 3 onos, 3 30-day periods, okay? And meaning, I mean that both figuratively and literally, meaning she missed her periods. So, Zekenish Avru Alav Gimel Onos, Verasa, and now she sees, and she totally did not expect it, she thought she entered menopause, and now she saw, Daya Shaita. So now she's afforded, it's so funny, of all the things she's going to be thinking about, right? But, okay, but the halachic mind is going to be thinking about how now, because she wasn't expecting to bleed, so now she doesn't have to go back in 24 hours and anything that she touched in the past 24 hours is going to become tamei, but rather, daya shaita, she'll be one of these four women who are going to be tame only from the point where she actually saw. Now let's do that again. Meaning, let's say now she went another 90 days, and then she saw again. So dayashaita. So once again, dayashaita. The ode of ruah gima onas verasa hare kachol anoshim ametam emesaisim bekila bekida. Now at that point in time, she's established. She has a pattern. So she has a pattern now where she went 90 days, she bled. She went 90 days, she bled. Now she goes another 90 days and she bled. We have now established a pattern. And because we've established a pattern, so what does that now mean? It means that we go back now, Meislais, Omepikila Pikida. Okay? Where she has to now look at that third bleeding, if you will, and she has to say, this is now the establishment of a new pattern. Now, by the way, important.
That's her vessel, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, before I read on in the Gemara, this is important. It's going to get technical, but this is important. When exactly did she establish this pattern? Meaning she has now gone 3 90-day periods, and she has now skipped, in those 90 days, she skipped her, what once upon a time was a regular cycle of going 30 days and then bleeding, and she went 90 days, she bled, she went 90 days, she bled, and then she went 90 days. When was her pattern exactly established? Right? After the second or after the third? Right. So the correct answer is it's a machlokas. Now, it's important. This really is important just for the rest of today's daf as well. Let's all recognize. In order for her to set a new pattern, she has to have what's called a chazaka. Mm-hmm. Okay? Meaning, she has to have a new presumption, a new assumption. It's what we call a chazaka. How many times does it take to make a chazaka? Machlokas. Okay, machlokas between Rebbe versus Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Whether it's two that sets a pattern or three that sets a pattern. So that now at the third or fourth time, she's in the new pattern. Right? Everyone understand? According to Rebbe, it only takes two. Two makes a chazaka. Right? In Yevamos, we talk about this at length. Right? Remember the case of the woman who gets married and her husband dies. She marries another man, her husband dies. Right? Is she a katlanis? She a killer? Not that we're saying that she actually killed her husband, but yeah, we're kind of saying that. Meaning, you know, not with a steak knife, but I'm saying, in other words, something about her is lethal. So now can she marry a third man, or more to the point, can the third man marry her? Right? Are we going to recommend it to him? Or no, does it take her to kill three husbands before now she has an established chazaka? Okay? And it's the same question with Bris Milah as well, very good. Right, where God forbid, right, the first baby dies, the second baby dies, now at a Bris Milah, now you have the third baby, so are you now muchzak? Do you have a chazaka? So according to Rabbi, yeah. In other words, two is all you needed to set the pattern. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you're going to try one more time. I know that sounds crazy, but according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you're going to try one more time because you haven't established a chazaka. Good. This is a machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And the same thing is true over here. Meaning, so let's go now over our elderly woman. Right? So she has a normal menstrual cycle of 30 days. She now went 90 days, she bled. Okay. Now that obviously establishes nothing. Right? She's fine. She skipped now her menstrual cycle, her normal menstrual cycle. Now she goes another 90 days, and now she bleeds for a second time on that 90 days. According to Rebbe, what just happened? She has a chazaka. According to Rebbe, now she's muchzak. Now, this is the important point. I'm going to say this again later today as well. Right. According to Rebbe, this is what establishes the chazaka, but for this one, she's still going to be dayashaita. It will only be the next time where we're going to say she's in the new pattern. Meaning, the time that establishes her pattern, for that time, her pattern is established, but dayashaita. It's not going to be until the next time where we're going to say we're going to go back meisleis. If, however, we went like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so you understand it's going to be 1, 2, 3. It's only on the third time now that her pattern is being established. Fourth. We're still going to say Dayan Shaitan. It's only going to be the fourth time we're going to say... We're going to go back. Okay, good. Good. All right, so, Tan Rabbanan...
Once the Chazaka is established, then you go to the next cycle.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Correct. Tan Rabbanan Zekeh Shavro La Gimel Onos V'Rasa, Dai Shaita. V'od Avro Lav Gimel Onos V'Rasa, Dai Shaita. V'od Avro Lav Gimel Onos V'Rasa, Arei Kochol Nashim, V'tamim Eseis, V'mekida Lepikida. Now, V'lo Shekivna... Ela filipischa vehosira. Now, when we say she went 90 days, do we mean precisely 90 days or thereabouts? Or ballpark 90 days? Average, she averaged 90 days. So, filipischa velomi by kivna? So the Gemara says, first of all, what are you talking about? Meaning you're talking averages and not being mechavin adrabaki kivna kavala vest v'dayishaita v'dayishaita. The Gemara says, what do you mean? You don't need averages. You need exact numbers. Aren't we talking about now the realigning of her vest? Well, if she's going to realign her vest, we don't do averages. You got to be exact, meaning she's got to hit 90 days on the mark. 90 days bleeding, 90 days bleeding, 90 days bleeding. So what do you mean? Well, we could be mechavein or it could be thereabout. No, it can't be thereabout. So the Gemara says... And maybe it's the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Dosa, where the Chachamim said, even for the woman who has a scheduled cycle, even for that woman, we're gonna be metame me'es leis. So the Gemara says, Ibchami Baile. Well, if that's true, meaning if it isn't Rabbi Dosa and it is the Chachamim, Velema, Veloshe Pischa Votira, El Afilu Kivna. So the wording of the Braisa should be, even if it's kind of thereabout, or even if it's on the mark, we're still going to go back me'es leis. That's what the Braisa should have said. So Tani lo shepischa v'osir ela afilu kivna. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to amend that last part of the Braisa so that it fits into the words of the Chachamim. Ibai seima, or if you would like, we could say hachi kamar v'lo shekivna lo shepischa v'osir ava kivna kavala ves v'dai shaito umani rabbi dosehi. Or what we're going to do is we're going to amend the last part of the Braisa so that it conforms to the position of Rabbi Dosa. Is that what we're, when we're saying that she's not metame me'es la'es, that's only if it's thereabouts. But if she's mechavein, if she hits it right on the mark, so then she has a new kvias vest, and of course we're going to say da'i shaita. Okay. Rabbi Lazar Amar kol isha sha'avru alav gima onas. Good. Now we move on to the Mishnah. Okay. We have it clear. There are four women who are misalakas damen, who are not expected to bleed, so that if in the event they do, da'i shaita. And we don't go back 24 hours. The underage girl, the overage girl, or the overage woman, right? Your ketana versus your zakena, and then pregnancy and nursing, right? Those are your four women not expected to bleed, and if they do, so we don't go back 24 hours. Then there's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you miss three, you're also misalak as damen, meaning nothing to do with pregnancy. Nothing to do with nursing, just a woman who... Nothing to do with old age. Rabbi Eliezer just says, any woman who has missed three is now considered Mislakas Damim. Okay. Now, do we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? Stay tuned. On this issue, meaning on the four women, we do paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. What about on this issue? So, Tanya. Amalem Rabbi Eliezer l'chachamim maisa b'riva achas. I'm telling you a story, says Rabbi Eliezer, about a girl. Behitlo, name of a town? Yeah. Shehivsika shalosh arnos, where? She skipped three cycles. Uva maisa lefnei chachamim v'amrlo dai shaita. And they went to the chachamim, and she asked the question, I missed three cycles. I then bled. Do I have to go back 24 hours? And they said, no, you don't. Dai shaita, you're fine. So, and obviously Rabbi Eliezer is telling over the story because obviously he's using it as support that he is correct. Amru lo, ein shas hadchak raya. And they said to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to understand that was extenuating circumstances, and so therefore you have no proof. Now, first of all, my shas hadchak. The Gemara wants to know, What extenuating circumstance are we talking about? Now, one version of the story is there was a famine. And because it was famine, food was very scarce. And so therefore, for us to go back 24 hours and to be metame, any food that she touched within the past 24 hours, when there already is a scarcity of food, that's too much. So therefore, we relied on the position of Rabbi Eliezer. When you think about this, by the way,
food is so scarce, what do you care about Tumantar?
Yeah, in other words, we're talking about where food is scarce. We're talking about for those women who skip three cycles. And, I mean, how much real effect did it have in that time? I don't know. Meaning it doesn't seem, and when you just think about it, it doesn't seem like it's going to have like a real effect on the amount of food that they actually had. All right, but be that as it may, or the other possibility is that in the past 24 hours, she's been working with a lot of taharos. How much? A lot. That's all I can tell you. Afisha, the Gemara says, it's a lot. A lot of taharos. And so therefore, if we would have gone back 24 hours and be mitame, the thing she's been handling, so that's going to be the loss of a lot of taharos. And so therefore, we were making like Rabbi Eliezer because she happens to be that this girl missed three cycles. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Maisavas Rabbi ki Rabbi Eliezer. Now, it was an occasion that Rebbe passed like Rebbe Eliezer. Now, it's interesting because Rebbe is after the Churban, right? A couple generations after the destruction, and they were still engaged in Tumah Tahara. Meaning, because Rebbe passed like Rebbe Eliezer. And La'achash and Iskar Amar, now he remembered. Meaning, he shouldn't have done that. In other words, Rebbe then, after passing, said, that's not appropriate. Meaning, that's Rebbe Eliezer. We don't pass like Rebbe Eliezer. So afterwards, he said, "Kedai hu Rabbi Eliezer lismach alav b'shas atzchak." Well, post facto, b'di'evan, it's okay. I shouldn't have passed like Rabbi Eliezer, but it was a time of need, and so therefore, you know what? Leave it alone. If I were to do it again, I wouldn't have passed like Rabbi Eliezer, but b'di'evan, it's okay. La'achas shenisker ilay malachas shenisker dein alachik Rabbi Eliezer ala karabanim b'shas atzchak eichi avikavasei. So the Gemara says, first of all, if we flatly reject Rabbi Eliezer's position, so then what are we talking about b'di'evan? Meaning what Rebbe should have then done is revisit his psak and change it. Meaning I was flat out wrong. And ela deloid merichusa lo kamar v'lo kamar. So the Gemara says it must be that there was no established halacha. Meaning that at the generation of Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer Shita was still a acknowledged position. It was still a tenable position. And no one came to any type of ruling. If you ask the question, who do we follow? Well, I'd say follow the majority. But since Rabbi Eliezer is out there as an acceptable opinion, so then b'di'evad he says it's okay. And then what he remembered is, look, it's still not right what I did. Meaning, I'm not going to go back and change it, but it's not right. Because it's not just one person arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. It's the preponderance of position. Rabbim are arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. I should have gone. I shouldn't have done that. But now that I did it, now that I passed like Rabbi Eliezer, it's fine.
What about the mitzvah on the
man of Onah? How is he? It says nothing to do with Bala. This is not a Bala issue. The entire first parak of Nida is not a Bala issue. It's Tumah Tahara. This is all about Tumah Tahara.
When he says Shash Tchak, does he mean that it was because he almost made a mistake, or was it something else?
The Gemara gave two explanations of what Shas HaTechak meant. It could be that it was a year of famine, or it could meant that there was a lot of Taharos that was dealt with. The Gemara is not clear. The Gemara doesn't say. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. And now we get to the fun stuff. We're all ready for the fun stuff for today? Okay. We're about to enter into our Braisa, and also we're going about to start today's daf. And the Braisa over here is going to be talking about two types of girls. A girl who has not yet entered the age of menstruating, meaning when the menstruating age starts, let's say, 11, 12 years of age. Okay. So we're going to first talk about a tinokesh shalohi gizman liros, meaning she's really young, 7, 8 years of age. Okay, totally didn't expect to see any type of bleeding. And then we're going to talk about a girl who's Higia Zman Aliros, where she's of that age, she hasn't actually seen any blood yet, but she's of the age where it's expected. Okay. And the Braisa is going to give the following scenario. So I'm just going to, just so you can see it, we'll all have a visual medium. We'll take a look at the case over here. Okay, this is her history. I told you, at any time, right, the medical professionals over here understand. You need to know history. So first of all, we're talking about a girl who wasn't, she wasn't of the age. Okay, so again, 7, 8 years of age. I'm throwing out numbers. Now she sees the first time. Okay, I'm going from here from left to right. Okay. And she sees the first time Sodai Shaita. Okay, that one we all get. Totally didn't expect to see blood at that point in time. She hasn't historically ever bled. Okay, Sodai Shaita. We don't go back 24 hours. Shniya Dai Shaita. How about a second time? Stay put. Dai Shaita. Shlishi Zare Kochonashim and Tamim Mesla Esam of Kila Pekida. Now, the third time over there, right, that juncture right over there. Yes. Please. That's more than just a suggestion. Perfect. Nice. And F. There we go. Much better. Thank you. Clear communication. Okay, so C. Okay, for those of you who are not watching, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, those are the three points of having some sort of bleeding. Okay, A is, B is followed after 30 days, C is followed after 30 days, D is followed after 30 days, and E, F, G is followed after 90 days, each one of them 90 days respectively. Okay, so, Rasa Pam Rishona Dai Shaita, Shnia Dai Shaita, Shlishi Sari Kachon, Hashem Atame Mesle, Samakila Bekita. So now we get up to D, right? So now for her, that's going to be the third time that, third time? No.
First time, right?
Right. Okay. So A, B. Right. Sorry. So fine. So I'm sorry. Shlishi Tari Kachon Hashem Tam Meisleis Bekila Bekida. So already by the by Shlishis by C.
Right.
By
the end of, but between C and D.
No. But we're talking about the actual bleeding itself.
Right, it's the start of C.
So, but that's according to the
one who said
that
the Chazukah is twice.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, so in other words, B.
B is already
Chazukah. No.
No
Chazukah after B. C establishes the Chazukah.
Because he has
twice.
Oh,
but
he's not putting on 10 days.
Are we going by Rabbi or going by Shimon Gamliel? All right, so we'll just stay with me.
Rabbi's the one who says twice.
All right, well, just stay with me. Okay, Shnia. Okay, so B is Dayashaita, and Shlishi is Hari Kachon Hashem and Tamim Eisleis and Bekida Bekida. Okay, did I put one in too many? Did I do that? I may have put in one too many.
Well, A should have been zero.
A is zero. A is the first time she's bleeding in her life.
Correct.
Right.
B is the second time.
B is the second time. C is the third time.
I saw that.
I may have put in one too many.
But I think maybe that even according to Rebbe, the first doesn't really count.
Well, the
when
first.
Then you count to establish a chazakah. After you get to C, that's when you establish a chazakah.
Right. 90.
Because the first one was not
a chazakah. I'm going to leave it up there like that, but I have a funny feeling that I had one too many. Alvar Olav Gimel Onos Verasa Dai Shaita. Vod Avar Olav Gimel Onos Verasa Dai Shaita. Vod Avar Olav Gimel Onos Verasa Hari Kachol Nashim Atame Mesa's Makita Makita. And then the price goes like this. Then she went 90 days. She missed, and then she bled after 90 on the 90th day. She went another 90 days, and she bled again. That's already up to F. And then she went another 90 days, and she bled again on G. And now, here at F, Dayashaita. At E, Dayashaita. At F, Dayashaita. And at G, we're going to go back the last 24 hours. Okay. Ukishihigia Zmanaliros. Now, the Breister here is going to deal with our next candidate. Now, our next candidate over here is going to be a girl who never bled, but is at the age where she expected this to come. Okay? 11, 12 years of age. Pamishona Dayashaita. Now, for that first time, Dayashaita. That's A. Now, Pamshnia, now, Mitamim Eis Eis, Umipikida Lipikida. Now, already, anytime after that, already, she's regular. Meaning, we're not talking about a vest. We're not talking about a cycle. We're just simply saying now that because she's at the age where she saw it coming, and she actually saw it coming, she actually saw it.
No,
right? She actually saw it. So now, she's a bleeder. Meaning, you'll forgive me for using such crass language, but she's a bleeder now. So she's like everybody else. So from this, after the first time, now moving forward, we're not saying she has a cycle. She doesn't have a cycle. But now what we are saying is she's no longer Misulekas Damin. She's no longer a woman who has a paucity of bleeding. She's a bleeder. And so therefore, from that point forward, anytime she sees blood, Meis Leis. We go back 24 hours. Parmishona Daishaita Shnia Mitame Meis Leis Mekida Bekida. Avro Alav Gimel Onos Verasa Daishaita. Now, if she skips three onas, meaning she skips 90 days, so now Dayashaita. Okay. Ad kan, that is the end of the brisa. Okay. Amamar. So now, we'd like to know the following. Avar alav gimel onos, Dayashaita. Hadar kechazia ba onos, mai. Now, here's what the Gemara wants to know. We're going back to the first case of the brisa. Brisa here deals with two women. One who is too young, 7, 8 years of age, and she starts seeing blood. Okay, kind of inexplicable, but she's seeing it. And the second case of the Bryce is a woman who did expect to see it, a girl who is of a menstrual age, but hasn't actually menstruated yet. Let's analyze the first case of the Bryce. Our girl who went 30-30-30, then she took a 90-day break, and then she took another 90-day break, and she took another 90-day break. And here's what the Gemara wants to know. Here's the question of the Gemara. Let's, this period over here, the Braisa went 30-30-30, then the Braisa went 90-90-90, and what do we say over here? Over here, Dayashaita, I'm confused over here, I don't know. Let's just say Dayashaita and Me'es Leis. Back to Dayashaita, and over here, Me'es Leis. Okay. And the reason being is because once we get over here, meaning she has now established, right, this is now her first 90-day cycle, her second 90-day cycle.
That also has to be Daishaito. Huh? G has to be Daishaito.
G is now, she is a woman who has 90-day cycles. Because one, two, we're holding like Rebbe, two set, this is going to set her cycle, and then three now is going to be Meis Leis. The Gemara wants to know like this. This 90-day cycle over here, let's for a moment imagine it wasn't 90 days. Let's say it was 30. What would happen over here? Are we going to say Dayashaita or are we going to say Meis Leis? Okay. And essentially, what the Gemara's question is going to be is the following question. Look, it comes out like this. I'll say it briefly. This girl took a 90-day break. Okay? Okay, her system took a 90-day break. Now, we already know the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says that once you take a 90-day break, you're now Misalekas Damin. You're in the category of Misalekas Damin. This girl took a 90-day break. Good. So, here, at point E, it's clear. It's Dayashaita. We're not going to go back. But here's where the question lies. Now she goes from that point forward. Now, if she took another 90-day break, which happens to be the case of the Braisa, we're for sure going to say Dayashaita. Because 90-day break means that you skip Gimel Onos, and okay, so fine. But what if she didn't take a 90-day break over here? What if she took only a 30-day break? And then she started bleeding again. You see, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you take a 90-day break, which means that you missed three onos, so okay, fine, your misalak is damim. And so here at point E, when you bleed again, so fine, so you're going to say daishaita. But moving forward, however, if she only took a 30-day break, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we wouldn't say daishaita over here. We would go back to eighth lace.
What if he was
because you're only afforded, you're only given status of Mislak is Damem only that next time that you bleed. Anytime after that, if this would have been 90 days, so then same story. But if this is 30 days,
what if it was 60 days?
Same story. In other words, she bled over here. She didn't take a three ona break.
For the 60 days,
I'm just using 30 as an example. But meaning anything less than 90.
Oh, I see.
Anything less than 90. So I wouldn't say Dai Shaita, I would say Meis Leis. So the simple way to view it is, this woman over here, if she only took from E to F, she only took a 30-day break, we would change this to Meis Leis, right? Maybe. What's the other consideration? The other consideration may be,
you don't know.
This is a young girl. She's 7, she's 8 years of age. She is Lo Higia Ace Liros. She's at an age where none of this was really supposed to happen. It could be that what 90 days does is it sets her back to zero. Meaning, in other words, it kind of clears her entire history. Meaning, I know she bled, I understand, and you're right, it looks like she's starting a regular cycle. But going 90 days, maybe for this particular girl, maybe resets her entire system. So that here we'll say Daishaita, and here also, even if it's 30 days, we'll say Daishaita. This is the Gemara's question. And the Gemara asks it, it's unbelievable, such a complex question, and the Gemara asks it in all of three words. Look at the top of Yud Amud Aleph, Hader Kechazia Ba'onos Mai. Sorry, four words. Okay. What if she saw Ba'onos? Now, it's funny, you know, right, when I go into a daf and I see a lot of Rashi, I know it's a complicated question. Right, it's like one of it's you know I'm trained now like a Pavlovian dog, and I know when I see a lot of Rashi, I know it's a complicated question. But now we all know it. In other words, we're all familiar with the question. I put it up on the board. We now see the question inside. We understand what's the issue. The issue is she now set back to zero by her now missing those 90 days from D to E. By her skipping 90 days, is her clock set back to zero? Now, we normally don't do that by any woman. We don't just reset herself and say, oh, look. It's in this particular case, because we're dealing with a girl who's never seen before and who shouldn't be seeing, so perhaps for her, it's a total reset. Gemara gives a very clear answer. It's funny. It's a complicated question. It's a complex question. And the Gemara gives an unbelievably straightforward answer. Amrav Gidol Amarav Par Mishon Vishniya Daishaita Shlishi Matames Leifes Mebikida Lebikida. So he says, yeah. So Pam Rishona, her first time. Don't get confused by the language as I did. Pam Rishona means after this, her first time Dayashaita, regardless of what the number is. Her second time Dayashaita, regardless of what the number is. And then the next time, Meis Leifes Mebikida Lebikida. Then we're gonna go back and start looking at her like a normal, regular woman.
But the duration has to be important.
You're right. No. Your point's well taken. Meaning, from E to F and from F to G, it has to be same number.
Even if it doesn't, for them, they're just saying that any observances...
No, like it doesn't mean any. It means... You're right. Equal numbers. Point very well taken. Good. Okay, that got us through... The hard part of the of the discussion. Tomorrow we'll finish up the Braisa. Okay. Easy rest of the daf after that. That was the tricky part of the day.